Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the press and welcome to PGA Championship Week. I'm Ryan Balogi. Thanks for being here. We've got two shows coming your way today. First is going to be overview of the market, kind of where things are. We're here Tuesday morning looking at this. We've done our modeling and everything already at golfnewsnet.com. That was up on Monday morning. Did it Saturday or Sunday evening and didn't really wait for the results of the Wells Fargo and the Myrtle Beach Classic to do it. Just kind of figured, hey, like, that's not going to change a whole lot, and it really didn't. We'll talk about that in the next show, but I just kind of want to go over the market right now, where things stand. And then we'll get a little bit more in-depth about the modeling and stuff like that in the second show. We will do a Wednesday show, and that will also look at props. And then we'll talk just a little bit about the Mizuho America's Open on the LPGA. They have an event this week. Korn Ferry Tour does as well in Kansas City. But the market for that is going to be interesting because Tim Vieting, who won the last two events on that tour, he is in the PGA Championship, so we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So where's the market stand? After Rory McIlroy won at the Wells Fargo, his odds dipped. It was starting to really dip on Saturday, but dipped substantially on Sunday into Monday. Went from 12-1 to 7.5-1. Scottie Scheffler's have gone up a little bit. He was more like 7-2. Now he's 9-2, so plus 450. Those are your top two guys on the board. And then you drop down pretty substantially, almost double to Xander Schauffele, plus 1,400. Two live guys at 1,600, John Rahm and Brooks Koepka. Ludwig, 20-1. Bryson DeChambeau, 28-1. I mean, now you're starting to see the big drop-off. Colin Morikawa, 30-1. Homa, 35-1 with Joaquin Niemann. Hovland, Cantlay, Cam Smith, 40-1. Wyndham Clark, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, 45-1. Hatton, 50-1. Benon, Cameron Young, 55-1. Can you imagine me have said that in January? Benon, 55-1 to win the PGA. What a world. Sam Burns is 60-1 with Sahith Theegala. Minwoo Lee is 65-1 with Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Hideki Matsuyama. Your 170-1 is Matt Fitzpatrick. Your 80s are Sungjae Im, Siwoo Kim, Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, and Will Zalatoris. We'll go all the way to 100. Seb Straka and Corey Connors are 90-1. Your hundreds are Taylor Gooch, Russell Henley, Adam Scott. And a couple of 110s because I want to talk about them. Shane Lowry, Steven Yeager, and Akshay Bhatia. After that, start to get some deeper shots, and we'll mention those here in a little while. But let's kind of consume the group to 100-1, right? The thing you've got to know about this week is, yes, it's a 156-player tournament. There are 21 players in the field that are PGA of America professionals. They are golf professionals, not professional golfers. So you are not playing a 156-player tournament. Yes, Michael Block was incredible last year, and he is back this year on his own. He is the 21st professional. He is on his own because he got in the top 15 last year. Everybody else is almost certain to not make the cut. They're happy to be there, and they're going to get paid a nice honorarium for being there and missing the cut. So you take those players out, you have a 136-player field, right? You've got champions from years gone by that are eligible to play. You drop about 10 of them right away. So now you're down to about 126. Then now you've got the meat of the tournament. The PGA of America goes very hard in trying to get the top 100 in the official world golf ranking in the field. And then they invite some other people who are playing hot golf lately, like Tim Vieting, who won those two Korn Ferry Tour events in a row. And he's got a PGA Tour card. He's playing great. Why not invite him? So you've got some guys who have been invited. Andy Ogletree gets in because he was at the top of the International Federation of PGA Tour's official world golf ranking list. He's not going to win. Take him out. Like, you can pare this down pretty quickly to about 100 players who maybe have a chance. And I think in the current climate we are in, you're really thinking there's like 10 players who have a chance. And you can see that in the steep drop off in your top five, top six players, I guess, going from Ludwig to Bryson, 20 to 28 to 1. You wouldn't have found that big of a gap, I don't think, in the Masters. And that leads me to believe they've got very clear tiers of player. Like your A tier is McIlroy and Scheffler. Your B tier is Ludwig, Koepka, Rahm, Schauffele. Then you got like your C tier, and that's probably 28 to 60 to 1. Like those guys are, yes, there's a big difference between their odds, but in terms of what they bring to the table isn't dramatically different, right? They just aren't. So then you get into your deeper shots of, all right, well, can something crazy happen here? And I'm not a believer in the theory of do-ness. You know, if you're a collectible, card collectible ripper, you've probably heard that term before. But we have not had a true what the hell major in a while. Now, you might have thought last year's Open with Brian Harman winning in a runaway was one of those. But if you looked at the leaderboard otherwise, it was really good. It was very interesting. So you had Rahm, you had Tom Kim. McIlroy was at least considering playing good golf. You had Matt Fitzpatrick in there. You had Alex Fitzpatrick in there. That was a weird one. But the leaderboard was pretty okay. That wasn't a total WTF. I think we might be due for one, but it's also so hard to see a world where that happens this week. Because the majors have been so good in identifying great champions in the last 3-4 years, maybe even longer than that, 5-6 years, that we're on a good streak. So if you're looking super deep, and I mentioned the 110 to ones for a reason, yeah, you know, maybe a Shane Lowry who could potentially have drawn something from Zurich, even though he didn't play particularly well in the Wells Fargo. Maybe Akshay Bhatia, who has all the shots. Really does have all the shots. Plenty of power. Great game. I do like what he brings to the table. He's been playing great golf all year. Denny McCarthy had a great week last week at the Wells Fargo. Longer course. Played well and got into a playoff last year at the Memorial. A Jack Nicklaus design. That's this week. Again, if you're trying to think of guys who are like, what the hell? There's one of them. There's two of them. Akshay Bhatia, Denny McCarthy. Why couldn't they play well? They've been playing well. Maybe you want to look at like a Taylor Pendrith. Continues to roll very well. Had a very nice follow-up week to the win. Long golf course. That seems to work out pretty well for him. So maybe those are some guys to think about. That out of the way, I think you got to really focus in on, do you want to try to bet McIlroy or Scheffler to win this thing? If you do, that probably changes your entire card. Right? Because if you're betting one or both of those guys, God forbid, if you're betting Scheffler at 4.5 to 1 off a 3-week layoff and he's now probably a sleepless dad, then how do you set your positions in a way that you could come out ahead? Right? If you bet a full unit on Scottie Scheffler at 4.5 to 1, you've got to really kind of stagger your percentages otherwise in the other players that you have in the event that Scheffler wins, if you're trying to think about it that way. You get a little bit more leeway with McIlroy at 7.5 to 1, and he did win here 10 years ago. And he won as a very different player then, very different attitude in life, I think. And I still think he is probably the hottest player on the planet right now. But you get more room to kind of feel out a whole card that way, as opposed to Scheffler. But you could also think about this as, all right, well, Scheffler is not the card. Scheffler is unto himself. If you think he can win two majors in a row, okay, just go bet him on almost kind of how I think of like betting Triple Crown races versus betting golf. Like, I know I have a set budget every year to bet those three races, specifically the Derby, and the Preakness, the Belmont, whatever. But I have a set budget for those three races. If I win, cool. If I don't, also fine. Because that's a long-term thing, and in the long term, I'm way ahead. Here, you would then put the golf stuff to the side and go, okay, well, I bet this regularly. Like, this is the ebb and flow. This is a bankroll thing to have to manage. I'm okay if you think about it that way too. Or if you have no strategy at all, then it doesn't matter. Bet whoever you think is going to win. But, and a lot of people probably listening this week, you're not thinking long term. You're not going to bet Colonial. You're not going to bet the Memorial probably. You're just betting the majors. And if that's your case, go hog wild. Do not have a strategy. Just have fun with it. Just know what your limit is. Know what your bankroll is and plan accordingly. And I would strongly recommend you don't bet more than 5 or 6 people, at least pre-tournament. I have a good buddy who loves to kind of catch guys live. Loves catching guys live because it's a good hedge. And I can buy into that too. I don't do a whole lot of that. I tend to be very selective in my live bets. Maybe something for like a late first round, you know, midday first round leader play. Maybe something for sometime on Saturday. Maybe something sometime on Sunday. But obviously things get shorter then. So those are your best ways to hedge. You've got Scheffler and McIlroy at the top pre-tournament. It's hard to bet Xander Schauffele to win anything, even though he gets close so often. But, I mean, he was so far ahead. Such a superior player on Thursday and Friday at Quail Hollow. And then just wet the bed Saturday and Sunday. It was a totally different game for him once he realized he could win and that someone was on his rear. And McIlroy just slipped past him. I mean, it was like that. Like, front nine to back nine. Tournament's over. And that's not encouraging if you want to bet Xander Schauffele. One of these days, he is going to hopefully buckle up and win one of these things. But I can't bet that at 14-1. I can't bet John Rahm because he can't close on LIV. And that's a 10-person tour he should be dominating. He gets close in every single tournament and is not finishing. He's not playing the kind of golf that I think makes him look attractive at 16-1. Brooks Koepka is hard to bet because you never know what you're going to get. But in this championship, he is the defending champion and a 3-time winner. He loves the setup here and won in his last LIV event. Between those two guys, I'm betting Brooks Koepka all day. You could have gotten him at 20-1. Now he's 16-1. There will probably be a little bit more money coming in on him. But it'll probably shorten up at best to 14-1. Then you look at Ludvig. Ludvig's wearing a knee brace this week. So what I wonder is, will there be discomfort there? How much will that bother him? How long will it take for him to get used to wearing a brace under his pants? Does it work for him? What will treatment look like after rounds? How will his leg feel? We don't know the answers to that. If you would ask me this question 3 weeks ago, I would be all in on Ludvig at 20-25-1, and I would tell you that he was my play for one and done. But now it's McIlroy because I'm worried about Ludvig's knee. So I don't like the 20-1 price given what you have to assume is going to be okay. But if it is okay, maybe you give it like 9 holes on Thursday. And if it's okay, and hopefully he doesn't go out and shoot like 31 of the first 9 holes and ruin any chance. But if he shoots, you know, even par, 1 under for the first 9, looks okay. Watch the golf. Looks a little healthy, or looks healthy, you know, little discomfort, I mean. Then, all right, then you get in there. So maybe he's not a pre-tournament play. You want to see what you get. Bryson, I think, could do extremely well on this golf course. He hits it really far. He played well at the Masters for the first 3 days, really. And then just kind of he slowly started to wilt away after that first round. Maybe he's an interesting first round leader play. I think he's getting back to, and has been back to, a very good standard of golf. I'm just not sure if I can bet him to win the tournament. I can like a first round leader bet, though. Morikawa, I think, can really do well this week. Really, really do well. He's won on a Nicklaus design. He handles longer golf courses just fine. He's just long. He's used to hitting longer clubs in. I'm not worried about that. Did well at Wells Fargo. Been playing well. Seems to have found something he likes. That intrigues me. I like Max Homa more at 35-1, and it seems like there's a lot of public money on him because he's improved in every single, well, in the last 2 majors played. Went from his first T10 to threatening outside chance to win before, you know, Scheffler slammed the door on everybody. So he is an interesting bet at 30. He's a value play at 35-1. If you were going to tell me I could have Xander Schauffele at 14-1, who's had a lot of close calls, but clearly is not getting it done at 14-1, or I could have Max Homa, who has been improving in the last two majors, seems to have found some comfort in them, and is going to the thing that's most like a PGA Tour event of the majors, at 35-1, I would take that guy. Neiman, I've wondered if he's peaked too early. I think he got himself riled up heading into the Masters, thinking, hey, you know, I played my way into this thing by winning the first two live events, and I deserve to be here. I need to prove myself, because if I don't, I might not get this opportunity again so long as live exists. And that I could see as being a stumbling block for him. So I'm going to stay away from Neiman. He doesn't perform well in the majors yet. Maybe he has his Homa moment this week where he gets his top 10 and then he's good for a while. We'll see. Victor Hovland is just off his rocker right now. Pass. Cameron Smith, pass. Patrick Cantlay, pass. Wyndham Clark. I picked him in one and done last week. He stunk. But that can be a one-week thing. I do like his chances. I like when he can play in places that are a little less rough intensive. So there's that to be worried about. But you're kind of banking on last week being an aberration and the Masters being an aberration, right? Not much experience at Augusta. You can write that off. Versus Wells Fargo in a title defense where he looked like he was just inept. Might have to put that on the shelf. That might be an in-play at best. Justin Thomas, I've heard some talk about because he's from the Louisville area, knows the golf course. That's fine. I can get into that. Just the putting is not good. I don't really like the approach play numbers. So I don't really see a whole lot there that convinces me to bet him. He is a two-time PGA champion. He's got that working for him. But the second one was, frankly, a confluence of strange events happening in his favor. So let's put that to the side. Tyrrell Hatton at 50-1. I'm almost compelled enough to bet. He got into this tournament on his own by getting in the top 15 last year. He is playing well on LIV. It's not perfect. He's not dominating, but he is. If Rahm were 50-1 or 40-1, given the same kind of profile and not being a two-time major champion, you'd go, man, that's an easy bet. But because Hatton hasn't won a major and struggles to win in the United States, it's a different proposition. Maybe you want him more like 60-65, but I think he's an interesting play. Cameron Young, a lot of people like as a top 10 or top 20 bet. Fully endorse those. Do not bet him to win a tournament. I mean, he has openly talked at times when he's contended about just kind of knowing, all right, I don't have it. Like making an early call that he doesn't have it in the final round. And I wonder if it's a self-confidence thing or something. But he could easily finish top 10 or 20. He hits the crap out of the ball. He plays well in the majors. He's got good kind of four-round stamina for these type of tough tests. He just, for whatever reason, there's a big mental block to winning these things. So I like them, the top 10 or top 20 bet. Top 20 is like plus 210, plus 220, depending on where you look. I'm cool with that. I do really like Sahith Theegala's game. I want him so desperately to win a major. I think he'd be a rock star winning one. I don't think he's there yet, but I may just put a little ticket on him anyway. Minwoo Lee, pass. Jordan Spieth, hard pass. Hideki Matsuyama doesn't seem to say anything positive about his back, pass. Jason Day has been playing pretty well lately. I don't think he's going to win, but I do like where his game is. So maybe you're looking at a top 10 or 20 on him, you know, plus 260 on a top 20. I can live with that. Fitzpatrick, a lot of people like, no. Fleetwood, a lot of people like, I think I mentioned him earlier, no. Then you kind of get into these folks that have glimmers of hope. Finau, Im, Siwoo, Zalatoris, Dustin Johnson. DJ's been mediocre at best on LIV this year. Zalatoris' putting is back to horrible. Finau has shown flashes but just isn't quite ready. Sungjae contended at the Wells Fargo and then just went straight sideways, if not a little backwards, on Sunday. Siwoo, I would love to bet Siwoo here, but I'm going to pass on him as well. And now you're starting to get it. All right, now we're at 100, right? The problem with this major is that there are so many people that have just glaring problems at these kind of better prices. And you also know that the winners of the majors recently, other than Brian Harman at the 100-1 number, which should never have been that number, other than that, you're getting great players. Wyndham Clark was a surprise, but he had just won recently, so that wasn't as big of a surprise. I'm tempted to bet Denny McCarthy, as I mentioned, but then once you get beyond his 130 number, I think you're struggling to find someone that you can really get behind. Ryan Fox very much interests me. I've been on him for a couple of weeks now in different events, in the team event in Zurich, where he and Garrett Kago were third. He did well at the Myrtle Beach Classic, had a really nice tournament, liked him pre-tournament. He's 250-1 here. I really do like his game. He hits the ever-living crap out of the ball. He's starting to get comfortable in this country. I do like what he brings here, the 250-1. A lot of people liked Billy Horschel. I've liked Billy Horschel. He's had a very good year. I find this to be a pretty difficult test for him, but he also likes Nicklaus courses. So if you're thinking about your, what the hell results, okay, maybe. On the same token, you got Jake Knapp, 250-1. That's a guy who's a budding superstar, if he can become more consistent. And once you put him in that position to win, anything can happen. And you saw that at the Nelson, where he went sideways on Sunday. But he wasn't going backwards. It just wasn't good enough to finish it off. If he could just keep it out of the really deep stuff, I think he has a legitimate chance here at 250-1. Beyond that, again, you're getting into like Eric Van Rooyen, Bo Hostler, who played well at the Myrtle Beach event. You've got Aaron Rye, Torbjørn Olsen, who's kind of intriguing to me. Chris Goddard, who just won the Myrtle Beach Classic. I would not expect a back-to-back for that. There has been some conversation around Phil Mickelson that I've seen. 400-1. Again, he's in his almost mid-50s at this point. He is not relevant week to week on LIV. However, you look at the course history, so to speak, and he has played well in each of the three majors at Valhalla. Top 10 finishes in all of them. All right. But to win at 400-1, maybe you want to look at a top 10 or a top 20. Top 10, 22-1. Top 20, 11. 1150. I can work with that. To win, that's just too much for me. That's too much for my blood. And then Tim Veeding, 600-1, is kind of like your marker of what the market thinks of a guy who just crushed on the Korn Ferry Tour in two quite different tournaments, by the way, the ones that he won. But yes, that's probably more accurate. I really want Alejandro Tosi to contend. I really love watching him play golf. 600-1. Over the weekend at the Myrtle Beach Classic, he filmed a rules incident discussion because he wanted to show that he didn't get embedded relief from a ball at hanging line of bunker, and it wasn't in the bunker, and it was on the lip, and he didn't get relief. He filmed it to try to protest. I love that guy. He's nuts. Interests me. Not 600-1 to win, but maybe 35-1 for a top 10. Could be a fun sweat. Patrick Harrington is 1,500-1. Now, the only reason I'm mentioning him is because he just played well in the Champions Tour Major, the region's tradition. He still hits it as far as anybody. He's won on the Champions Tour. He's still very much motivated to play against these players. Again, put like it's like $2. Not like $10. $2. And if you win, you say you have the ticket, and you won $3,000. Is that going to happen? Almost certainly not. But I do want to mention him as someone I really am going to enjoy watching this week. And then all of a sudden you're into guys who qualify either as past champions, like your Y.E. Yangs, your Rich Beams, Sean McKeels, Michael Blocks, he's not a past champion, Jason Duffner's, all 5,000 to 1, all along with the club pros, guys who are John Daly, Jimmy Walker, former champions who are just not relevant anymore, and then add in your club pros. It's a weird championship. It's hard to kind of get into. There's not a ton of momentum for it. There's probably not even a huge betting market for it. I mean, certainly not compared to the Masters or the U.S. Open. But I do think there is some potential value to be had here. I do think we might get a surprise winner. I think people are going to think about betting the lower price players for two reasons. One, there is a big gap between A, B, C, and D players and like F players. And this venue has produced two world number ones, two Hall of Famers as champions in the last three times. However, the first time they had it here was Mark Brooks and Kenny Perry. A little bit of a different battle, right? You could get that this time. You could get something in between. Again, I think we are eventually going to get back to having a really weird what the hell major, but I don't know if it's going to be this one. So that's kind of my read on the market. Next show, we will talk about the modeling, talk about current form, and guys to like, and most of those guys are toward the top. And then we will do a show on Wednesday. We'll talk about prop bets, we'll talk about matchups, and then we'll throw in LPGA as well. If you want to join GolfNewsNet.com, join for $40 a year at GolfNewsNet.com, $10 for the week if you wish to do it that way, and then you can cancel before the full year membership kicks in for the additional $30. But if you do it today, right, or Wednesday, you're going to get pretty much a year's worth and an extra major if you do it this way. You'll get into next year's PGA Championship week, more or less, for five, you know, you'll get five majors. So that's what I recommend to people if you're doing this to join for the year. And I don't know why you would just do the 1 week. If you're going to do it that way, do it around a major. Set yourself up on a Tuesday or Wednesday so that you get next year's major that you're buying for this week as well. So you get five majors for the price of four. Okay. Back tomorrow with another show. Well, back in a few minutes with another show. Thank you for listening. Get a hold of me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com, Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy, Facebook and YouTube, Ryan Ballingy Golf, and Golf Newsnet is the handle on every social service. We'll talk to you next time on The Press.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.